Now, further on, photos 15, 16 will give people some idea of the interior of what ultimately is going to go up there and turn into, and we should talk about this a little bit. I don't know what it's going to turn into. Is it going to turn into, I suppose at first, Bigelow astronauts will be occupying this immense amount of space. And it's a lot of space. In fact, as you go down the photographs, 18, 19, 20, take a look. 21, the outside of these modules. These will be, these are pressurized modules that Bob has built and will be building mock-ups of them here. And they're big. They're going to be big enough to ultimately be a hotel in space, aren't they, Bob?
Well, let me back up just a little bit and give some credit here to NASA, and then we'll go on forward to the use and these structures and like that.
Sure.
We acquired, I actually was introduced to this expandable technology through, started off being a magazine article. And I was astounded to learn that NASA had created this kind of technology, and of course, by the infinite wisdom of Congress, their program was cut. This is part of the politics problem we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
So they lost their funding. And through some phone calls I made, and one thing led to another, I come to find out the program was not being pursued. So we started pursuing it, and then eventually we acquired licenses to their patents, and we acquired patents of our own. And so the essentially what you have is an expandable system that provides, in our particular scale of things, about three times the interior volume of any module that's flying on the International Space Station right now.
Good Lord.
So that's a good thing, because every launch is very expensive. So any time that you could triple the value, the volume of space, you kind of triple the value, so to speak, of the module itself and on per launch. So you're putting that each launch to very good use. And so that's part of the value of these systems is the volume that they can carry. The other value is the safety. Because of the shielding involved, and also because of the designs for our radiation protection, these systems are safer to be inside than the conventional construction of aluminum, solid aluminum structure is.
Both okay, is it reasonable for you to explain the difference, or are we getting into guarded
territory? No, we can. We can do that in fairly kind of, you know, general terms. I can't name names of materials and things like that.
Okay.
But we can in general terms, because there's already quite a bit out in the literature on this.
Okay, how much safer?
Well, years ago we did some the ballistic tests are called hypervelocity impact tests, and we did this we performed these tests on some old shields, shield architectures, and these tests showed that the projectiles that we shot into our own shields sustained the impacts very well and just obliterated the targets that we used that were exact mock-ups of the strongest insulated and mechanically prepared portions of the hull of the modules, the best constructed modules on the ISS, and just obliterated. In fact, it didn't punch a hole in it. It actually unzipped these pieces to where it fractured them so badly. We thought, well, if this had been a real incident, it might have gone from bulkhead to bulkhead. That penetration was so violent. But in our shields, it didn't exit the targets. So from that standpoint, we're, you know, and NASA knows this. This is, in fact, the original intent for these structures by NASA was to use them as a dormitory for the ISS and for deep space missions going to Mars. That was the whole point.
Wow.
You know, so this isn't some concoction of ours that we said, oh, gee, you know, we laid awake one night and just dreamt this up. No, the guy that was the principal fellow on the team was Dr. Bill Schneider. In fact, he has been a consultant to us for years now, and he had some excellent fellows and gals under him and on their whole team. And, of course, that all was disbanded when the program was killed.
To give people an idea, when you've got about four or five modules, you know, in 2012 or 13 or whatever it is, how does the amount of space inside your various modules compare to what the International Space Station will have in its heyday?
If and when the ISS is completed, it's the intent is to have 1,100 cubic meters. NASA had a while ago decided to cut that in half to 550 cubic meters and call it core complete. But through various political pressure, I think that that size is going to march more toward the full 1,100 meters, maybe in four years or so. That kind of is a TBD. In our case, each of our modules is over 300 meters, so we could accumulate 1,200 meters with four modules. They're 300 plus meters, so, you know, give you some idea.
Yeah, big.
And by the way, our modules are fairly generic. You know, our intent, believe it or not, is not necessarily to operate space hotels, but these modules, our intent is to serve different client communities and essentially lease these structures to different kinds of users, and it could be, you know, the Hera Hotel Company or Richard Branson or the MGM folks, Four Hotels or Hilton,
yeah.
You know. It could be that, but it may also be major corporations that want to use them for laboratory purposes.